Airbnb, we hear so much about it, but who can get their hands on the actual figures? Well, Thomas Sigler from the University of Queensland has managed to dig down into actual Airbnb data and has found some fascinating things about how we use short-stay accommodation in Tasmania. G'day, Thomas.
Hi, how are you, Rick?
Very well, thank you. What did you find out?
So we looked comprehensively across the figures for Airbnb for Australia. And, I mean, the first figure that stood out is the fact that about 4% of the Australian housing stock is being used as an Airbnb or has been used as an Airbnb in the last 3 years.
And in Tasmania, what are the patterns of usage that you're seeing?
Yeah, so it's pretty similar to the rest of the country, to be honest. It's a little bit more seasonal. So we look at things like seasonal variability. So, for example, there tends to be a spike in December and January around the summer months, and there also tends to be a spike in April around the school holidays for Easter. And we can see that, for example, West and Northwest Tasmania has significantly more homes available during the school holidays than it does under ordinary circumstances. The same is true for Launceston in the Northeast, and I guess to a lesser extent for Southeastern Tasmania. Hobart, interestingly, mirrors the rest of the capital city. So Hobart is a little bit more steady throughout the year, meaning the number of Airbnbs listed on any given day, or any given month, rather, are fairly, don't fluctuate much from month to month.
Does that mean that those houses at the other times of the year are just not on any market?
Right. And
they're empty?
That's kind of empty, or they're being used. They may be used by the actual residents. So I think the idea with regional Australia is that Airbnb provides a mechanism to monetize additional capacity in someone's house. So, for example, if you have a granny flat or an extra bedroom or a shed or, you know, we came across some pretty interesting things like a teepee or a yurt or a tent or a treehouse. There are lots of those. People may make them available seasonally when it's convenient to do so, and also when the prices are up. There's no point in renting it out for $30 a night. But if you're getting $200 a night, a lot of people use that to supplement their retirement income.
In a city where rents have gone up 30% in the last few years, it's pretty incredible, and housing stock's getting taken by short-stay accommodation. Could you see how much of the accommodation in Hobart is being used?
We can. So, yeah, the maximum month within our data set, there are 2,000 Airbnbs available in Hobart. In fact, 2,147 to be exact. On an average month, there are about 1,500 available in Hobart. So, you know, as an overall component of the housing stock, it fits that 4% figure. We've done a bit of research to try to figure out if it actually does impact rents. And I mean, to be honest, the data are pretty inconclusive. I would imagine that in some of the more premium neighborhoods, some of the areas around the harbor that are more in demand from Airbnb guests, there may be a bit of displacement of conventional rentals in favor of short-term rentals, but generally speaking, 4% still isn't a huge figure.
What are ways, I mean, the idea was that people who own their property could monetize it better, but we've got a public policy issue. What ways do you think that we can access all of this empty housing?
Right. There's a number of ways. I mean, you can have occupancy taxes of various kinds, so you can essentially tax people on vacant units, and that's sort of the case, especially in places like Sydney, where you may have investors basically sitting on dormant properties simply for the tax benefits or simply for the investment benefits of doing so. There are other ways to do it. I mean, you essentially are paying a tax if it's sitting empty because you're not getting rent revenue. But I also think there's possibly a need for greater regulation of short-term rentals by the Australian Tax Office as well as by the local councils. The real issue is that it's tricky. First of all, it's almost impossible to know who the actual host is and how much money they're earning. And again, Airbnb does actually report directly to the ATO, but there are plenty of other short-term rental sites that don't. So one of the issues is actually compliance and reporting. Another issue is that, a lot of people do sort of use Airbnb as the genuine sharing economy. Now, increasingly, we're seeing that that's not true. Increasingly, we're seeing that Airbnb has been professionalized, that you've got these sort of super hosts, for lack of a better term, who are managing two, five, 10 properties. And, you know, that's clearly, you know, against the nature of how Airbnb started. And again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just commercially managing properties, just like a hotel or short stay booking site would do. But again, it's getting into that gray area where, effectively, a lot of the Airbnb operators are operating not just like a business, but they are a business.
Did your research suggest that it's kind of peaked at a level and it won't grow much from here?
No. Our research suggests that it absolutely is growing. We saw about 2.4% per month growth.
Wow.
And compounded growth, that's about 30 to 40% a year. Now, it has tapered, so it's not growing as fast as it was. But I think so many people have, you know, it's sort of a supply and demand issue. So many people have woken up to the idea of using an Airbnb. Again, it's not just a fringe phenomenon anymore. It's sort of very mainstream. If I talk to any of my colleagues who are traveling for work, you know, certainly Airbnb is an option weighed against the cost of hotels. And if it's significantly cheaper than a hotel, particularly where you could split it with someone else or you could bring your family along, it's seen as a pretty serious option. And so I think as people realize that, hosts and owners are realizing that they can monetize their properties.